Okay, all right, okay. We can. I think we can do this seriously now.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Circle This, episode 14 for Valentine's Day weekend, and everybody says, aww.
Aww.
I know. And now you just heard three voices on the show. And the reason you're hearing that is because joining me is my regular co-host, Neville Williams. What's up, Neville?
Hey, you guys. How you doing? I'm here for my first three-way podcast, that is.
Oh, you had to say three-way. Oh, that's dirty. That's pretty nasty. And the other voice you hear is one of our other writers for Inside the Circle, who we're very proud to have on the show, is Julio Ortiz. Julio, how's it going?
It's going well until I realized I was in a three-way, but... Hey, see, Neville just took us to the gutter, like, real quick, and you know, now we've set the standard for the rest of the show.
So and you're getting three-way with two brothers. How's that?
Once you go, you know, black,
what's that guaranteed length? About 20 inches of that? Oh, brother, dude, get the yardstick. All right, so...
Are we using the metric system here? Meters? Yards?
Just look far down the field. So the idea of this episode to bring Julio on is that he's going to be the voice of the community versus the voice of the MVPs. So, you know, Julio has been like a very good writer for Inside the Circle for the last year and a half. And so I can finally say this to you on the show, actually. I appreciate everything you've ever done for the blog. Like, all your contributions have been awesome, dude. Just totally.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And so today we're going to be talking about, you know, the content, you know, disappearance in the marketplace. We're going to get into a little bit about the halftime show, because apparently Neville's little post about The Who has, like, sparked this great Inside the Circle controversy. Go figure.
Well, not us, not here.
No, yeah, we don't spark no controversy. No, that's no. And
we do that now.
No, and then we're going to get a little bit about, you know, MVP Summit, because this will be the last podcast before Summit starts. So Julio will be here to be the voice of you guys out there in the community to let us know, us, me and Neville, what we should be bringing into Summit to tell Zune about what's going on and, like, what we like to see them do to fix or probably upgrade or probably do better as the 2010 rolls on. Then all of us will give marketplace recommendations. So you're going to get six songs in this show. Six. Count them. Six. And then,
ooh.
I know, because we love you, because it's Valentine's Day weekend. And then beyond that, we'll let you get back to celebrating Valentine's Day however you feel you want to do it.
Whatever. Whichever way you feel comfortable doing it.
Pretty much. So let's start with the elephant in the room, which is people in the forums, people that have been telling me, I've noticed it myself, that a lot of content in the marketplace since the 4.2 update has been disappearing. And, you know, the official word from Zune is that, well, it's a content, you know, the labels thing, which is fine. And, but one of the things I've noticed, and I've noticed that even up until the recording of the show, was that one of my favorite artists, BT, who always had albums in the marketplace, always downloadable through Zune Pass, suddenly was gone. And then I just noticed a few minutes ago before the show started that some of the albums are back, but now it's buy only or preview. And preview is a button on the Zune marketplace I rarely see. I rarely see a button that's...
I've never seen that button before.
Neither have I.
How weird is... I went into BT's artist section, and a couple of the albums that are there said buy for 79 points, which makes sense. But then some of the songs just said preview on it. And so when you click preview, obviously it gives you the 30-second, you know, clip of the song, and then it just moves on. So I understand where a lot of our Zune users are coming from, where it's like, hey, you know, songs that I've downloaded through Zune Pass right before the update are suddenly not working. Or, you know, songs that I were thinking of getting, you know, using the credits are suddenly just not jiving, or what's going on. So let me ask the both of you guys, like, what have there been albums you've seen so far that, like, have not worked? Or what do you guys think of this issue and what's going on? Because it's been a pretty big groundswell I've seen in the last couple of weeks from users.
Julio, I'll defer to you first. So you go ahead and talk about what you're seeing, and then I'll go after you.
Well, it's funny because when we were, you know, we're told we're going to pick a couple of tracks from the marketplace, you know, one of the bands that I really have come to enjoy over the last year is Maximo Park. So I go to I have them because I have them from when I had an e-music subscription. I actually own the MP3s from there. But I wanted to make sure they were available in the marketplace. And lo and behold, you know, those most of their albums are not out there. They used to be. I mean, in fact, Maximo Park, I think a year ago, or a couple of years ago, was one of their featured artists, one of their Ignition artists, whenever they were, they used to do that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, actually. Yeah.
Well, apparently that didn't work out too well. So, I mean, and they're not there now. So, just, I guess, you know, hey, thanks for making us the Ignition artist. Suck it. We're not going to be there anymore. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So, I have an issue with the idea, and I guess this is where I'm going to be conspiracy theorist guy, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that you would be a record label. You want to make money, so you're going to pull your artist from a potential revenue stream or revenue source. Right, so and that whole tracks disappearing and album and then pulling it just sounds a little odd to me. And I'm wondering what the real like what would be the overarching reason behind it. I mean, have they pulled it from not to mention iTunes, but have they pulled it from iTunes? Have they pulled it from Amazon.com? You know, these are the questions I'd be asking.
And what's interesting about that actually that you bring it up is that actually I should say two things about that. One, I want to give props to one of our fellow MVPs, Corey Schuster, who is known in the forums as CS188, because he's kind of been like out front, like leading the, you know, the other people in the forums to say, yeah, I'm noticing albums are not there to, you know, take my hand, let's go through this together, and like let's list all the songs that we're noticing just not there anymore. So props to him for, you know, being like one of the front runners on that. And the other thing was, in the post I put for Inside the Circle, I just told people, you know, one, nobody's saying I'm getting the same problem with Amazon or iTunes. That's actually one of the things against Zune that, you know, I'm seeing is that, you know, well, if I go to iTunes or Amazon, I'm not seeing the same music pulled anywhere. You know, so I said, well, you know, if you find it on Amazon, for example, get it from Amazon. Yes, you have to buy it and it's not under Zune Pass, but because it's an MP3 format, you know, A, it'll work on all of your devices, whatever they may be. But B, if you're using it through Zune will be able to pick that up, map it to the correct album, if it's still there, in the marketplace, and be able to, you know, correctly put that to Zune Social or wherever else you put it. So it's interesting that you bring up that it's a, you know, do people see that in Amazon? Do people see that in iTunes? Because the people who have been talking to me said they don't see it, which is why they're really wondering why it's such a big thing coming out of Zune Marketplace.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes sense completely.
And you wonder, I mean, you know, it's not like, I mean, Zune has come a long way, especially with the HD, right? HD's got great critical acceptance, and it's really kind of like the best device out there for in terms of the Zune right now. But it still doesn't have the mind share and hasn't hit the acceptance publicly like the iPod / you know iPhones. And why would you know these you know, having these albums disappear and having your content lessened doesn't do anything to help Microsoft. So you know, I'm wondering how quickly or how much they're really worrying or trying to get it resolved.
I almost think Julio kind of wrote my article for me.
Sorry.
No, because it was another one of those. But no, it was another one of those points I brought up, which was, you know, Zune is already looked under a more minuscule microscope than iTunes is, because they're Microsoft, they're quote unquote trying to catch up to Apple. They're going up against this like iPod, iTunes juggernaut. So everything they do is already going to be under like this really large microscope. And so when people are already saying, you know, hey, I can't find content that I could find before, that gets amplified much more than if they saw that same – I would actually venture to say if they saw that same amount of content gone from iTunes, it wouldn't get as big of a blow-up as it being gone from the Zune marketplace. Just because of that minuscule microscope they're giving Zune, because they call it, or they see it as, the iPod, iTunes competitor.
I think what you see is, you see potentially a media bias. And I also saw it earlier this week in talking about what Warner Music executive said, Edgar Bronfman, about streaming music versus the loss of profit when prices were raised in the iTunes marketplace. Similarly, at the same time, the Zune marketplace saw a price increase on a few albums, but overall, not many things changed. One thing I want to remember is, and I want other people to remember, is what Bronfman said about subscription music services. And this is what he said, a straight quote from BBC News. The number of potential subscribers dwarfs the number of people who are actually purchasing music on iTunes. Now, when you think about that, and you think about what he just said, that sort of gives a great open door for ZunePass to walk in and say, here's a subscription service that gives you everything you want for the one flat price, as opposed to paying for items that you don't want, items that have the tendency to increase over time, and for a service that may not be there down the line, being available music for purchase as opposed to music for subscription. And so I just think it was interesting that you didn't have that reported as much, you know, saying essentially ZunePass is a very great alternative to what he's talking about, what Bronfman is talking about in terms of purchasing going down but the potential for subscription going up. You didn't see a lot of reports talking about how ZunePass could fill that gap between music purchases and the rise of music subscription services. And I think that more people should be aware that ZunePass exists. But at the same time, you do have an issue when you're talking about the rise of music services or the potential for music services. You have to back it up in terms of being able to have the content available for people to download.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like if Netflix, I mean, it's like really great, you know, little letter in the mail that said, hey, you know, you pay $9 and you can get like all these movies and like you can stream to your Xbox and blah, blah, blah. And I go to Netflix and there's like three films. Three really long films, and you're like, okay, you're giving me 21 hours worth of content, but it's through three films. Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, not just any film; they're like Ed Wood films.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like Edward Scissorhands, the extended cut. Like, okay, you know,
from outer space. I don't really need the uncut version.
Yeah,
maybe it's just me.
So for me, I love ZunePass because when I came into it, I was a person who was very committed to CD. You know, I had to go into the record store. I had to see that album. I had to see the song that was on there. If the song was the only one I liked on there, but I knew I can get that song, I would buy that CD. I would go home, I would listen to that one song, listen to the rest of the album, and go, yep, I just like that one song.
Wow.
You know, and yes, well, I've had that experience, and it kind of sucks. So, you know, when you have ZunePass, we can kind of say, you know, listen to all the albums you want, try out this one song. If you like that one song and you only like that one song, just get that one song and, you know, you can move on. It was great, except now people are coming into the marketplace going, well, I can't find even the album anymore. Or, you know, the album is now pulled, or now the album is just album only. Or, you know, the album, you know, buy just for this credit. It's like the song I want, I have to buy. The rest of the album I don't care for is, you know, download. And it's these kind of, like, factors that, you know, really take people aback with ZunePass. And I totally understand it. It's a label thing. Labels are just kind of like, hey, you know, that popular single we put out, yeah, make people pay for that. If they really want it, let them pay for it. You know, I get that. They want to make their cash. They want to, you know, do like Scrooge McDuck with the money bin and just jump in and, you know, dive into a barrel of coins. I get that. But
did you really just get a DuckTales reference in this podcast?
Yes,
you
did.
Welcome
to the third stage of hell, Julio. So, you know, but, at you know, when you see... Yeah, when you see record labels do that sort of thing, you understand it. They want to make their money. You know, they have good artists who put out these really good songs. You want to make money off that song. I get that. But at the same time, it's like it's a subscription service. I should be able to go in, get what I want,
whatever artist I want, whatever song I want. Again, it's like the Netflix thing, because they're a really good analogy, because they have a subscription service. It's like, you know, if I want to, you know, instant stream a song or a movie to my Xbox, but that particular movie is not there, it kind of lessens, or it takes down a degree, my enjoyment of Netflix streaming. You know, it's still a great service, but, you know, they don't have that one movie I'm looking for, or they don't have that, you know, that one title that I would just like to just pull up and hit play. It's the same thing with Zoom Pass. If they don't have that, you know, one album, that one song, or for whatever reason that one song is just like, bye, it really kind of, for me, lessens the value of it, where I still like it, but it still lessens that value, if that makes any sense.
I'll say this. I to the music executives who listen to our podcast, just like
Abel, all I know, half
you know,
of you.
Everyone yeah. listens to our podcast.
All two of you. one of you is deaf, so.
Yeah. It's easy enough to acquire music that is for purchase through other means. Let me just put it that way. It's easier enough to acquire music that's for purchase through other means, that the fact that you're pulling content away from a subscription service sort of makes me begin to look elsewhere again. So
yeah. It would be nice to have the one solution where you can just pull up this one piece of software and everything you'd ever like in the world would just be available to you. That would be the ultimate utopia. It's just to pull up something and go, hey, Marcus, what would you like to watch today? Oh, do you have any, like, softcore in there? Yeah. Okay. Oh, was that TMI? I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, whatever.
That's for market research, right, Marcus? Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine told me that. But
part of it should be the onus should be on Microsoft, too, to do what they can to maintain these deals with the record companies and then, you know, chase after them. I don't want to say chase after them necessarily, but work with them to say, to get that content back into the Zoom marketplace. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine up in one day they came and said, oh, you know what, we're going to pull these albums. Microsoft is what? I mean, are they just saying, okay. I mean, they have to go out there and continue to work these deals and try to get them back in. Because, like you know, what Marcus was saying, if all of a sudden their content's drying up, you know, then you're losing value to the individuals for, you know, what's their reasoning then to even have, you know, Zoom Pass, which is probably one of the strongest, if not the strongest component of the Zoom ecosystem, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Yeah, which is funny because they you know, recently, like a few weeks ago, they said, well, now in one of the little updates we did to the Zune HD, if you go into, like, the device marketplace, you'll actually be able to see which albums are actually not available, which is kind of convenient for people going through device marketplace. It's like, well, that's cool and all, because now I'm going through device marketplace and seeing a whole lot of albums that are not available.
How convenient, huh? It's almost like they knew it was going to be happening.
So, yeah, it'd be nice if I can throw my device against the wall. Awesome.
Exactly. Well, you know, if you lose enough content that your top five songs include Rockwell, I mean, you're doing something wrong. You know what I mean?
But one of the things they said on the Zune Insider podcast, which, you know, I give them a lot of credit for, is that, and I've seen this, seeing how, you know, I've been there since Zune Marketplace started. It has expanded since it started. Because if they kept the same amount of content now that they had when they first started, we'd all be upset. Because it'd be pretty much a whole lot of, like, Belle Biv DeVoe and, like, Guy. And we would just be like, oh, a lot of New Jack. Awesome.
And Snow.
So, but yeah, we'd like to, if I may say a little something to the listeners, who probably haven't, like, tuned us out by this point.
Yeah, hopefully.
We like to hear.
What would they? We're such great personalities here.
I know. Totally. Cool. Would you have any great poupon? So for the other listeners who are listening, again, there's a post on Insider Circle blog, which I lovingly called "Calling Sherlock Holmes." There's a case of missing Zune Pass music. We would love to hear you guys' thoughts about that because, you know, we understand there's a really good forum thread going on. We would just like to hear your guys' thoughts on disappearing Zune music. Because, again, leading up to the MVP Summit, which is coming up pretty darn soon after this blog or podcast comes out, that, you know, we can take this kind of thing to the Zune team and say, you know, your community is really concerned about marketplace content. So
let us know what you guys think, too, because there's not just three of us. There's all of us.
Oh.
It takes a community to listen to Zune.
Yeah, exactly. So leaning on into the second hour of this show, because I told these guys that I think this will probably last about 4 or 5 hours, so bear with us, is another post that really generated a lot of buzz and conversation on our blog, which was the talk about having The Who as the Super Bowl halftime musical act. And I need to say this up front. Neville and I are not bashing The Who. We're not saying they shouldn't do it. What we're saying is that you have to understand your audience for it. Because in 2010, people watching the Super Bowl would be, if you're going to be very generous about it, half are going to be like old schoolers who will probably just love The Who. But the other half is us young folks who, you know, look at The Who and go, I have no idea who the hell that is. You know, and
we're all paying. You know what?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Still paying for 2003.
Yeah. And for those who doesn't understand what that part means is that, you know, I guess they're being little winnie ninnies because of the whole, like, Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, oops, I did it again, expose at the Super Bowl, which I honestly think they need to get over, because if you keep bringing back older and older and older and older acts, eventually you'll just have a halftime show where the clouds are part and Moses will walk down with a tablet and says, you know, halftime is officially started, and then, you know, my grandkids will go, I have no idea what the hell is going on. I'm going to go listen to my, you know, Zune HD 4. You know what I'm saying? And it just...
Yeah.
But if they really want to make money from this event, they need to start catering to both the older and the younger generation. I enjoyed it when they had a combination where they had, like, say, Aerosmith and Britney. I'm not saying Britney's the echelon of younger generation. I'm saying you should have maybe, like, the older style meshed with the younger style, because now... it's something everybody can get into. You know what I mean? Like, am I just crazy on that, you know?
No, I agree. I mean, like, Neville.
I was going to say, no, you're perfectly right in saying that. And that's what I tried to get across in the blog post, was that I have nothing against The Who. It's just, like I said, they're not the voice of my generation. When I think about who's big right now in terms of, like, overall appeal, we start throwing around some names. We talked about people like Jay-Z, maybe Beyonce, Lady Gaga, like you suggested, Marcus. Like, people like that who definitely do have the potential of appealing to an older crowd as well as a younger crowd. And I think that's what I had the biggest issue with, was the fact that when we were watching the Super Bowl, all of us were like, what is this? Who are these guys? Fortunately, we had a standard definition TV, because I don't know if I could stand those guys in high def.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this. In high def, it's not that much different. I still fell asleep.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like, really? This is the best the NFL can muster in terms of giving off their venue as a halftime show, a 12-minute show? I know they're definitely, like Julio said, reeling from 2004 and probably the fines and whatnot, but you can definitely find a tongue-in-cheek group that is half their age, literally, that can still put on a great performance.
Julio, any thoughts?
It was funny when... it was funny seeing the commentary going back and forth on Twitter while their performance was going on. And I had written to the effect of kind of what we've already said, is that I'm not their biggest fan, but I know who they are. Like, I have been to one of their albums, and I like some of their stuff. But they just do not have, I think, the relevance to today's, you know, below the baby boomer generation. I don't think it's the same relevance to a majority of your potential fan base who's watching the Super Bowl. You know, ever since the wardrobe malfunction, you've had the NFL and you know, the network playing it real safe. You know, you look at the lineups they've had. They've had, what, Prince? They've had Bruce Springsteen.
They've had Tom Petty, right?
Yeah, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, yeah.
And now we got The Who. I mean, it's a who's who of great music. From the 70s, you know, I mean, somewhat acts that were relevant back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. why not have Black Eyed Peas out there, or Jay-Z, or Lady Gaga, or, you know, White Stripes? You could have, like, a mesh. You can have newer, modern, more modern acts, not necessarily have the quote-unquote controversial element that you had with the wardrobe malfunction.
Right.
I think, you know, one thing that would have been awesome would be to have, like, a theme. Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, no. But I hear what Neville's was starting to say was, like, they once did a theme built around, oh, but this is actually a pretty bad theme, where they built a theme around the new, what, Indiana Jones ride that was opening at Disneyland, so they decided to do a halftime show built around that.
Like, as a, I think, like a 5 or 6 year old watching that thing, that's, I remember that guy rolling around on the stage with the Super Bowl trophy in his hand.
Yeah, and where's that 5 year old now? He was looking at the Super Bowl the last couple of months going, Daddy, who are these guys? That? Yeah.
Why are they older than you, Papa? Like, that's what he's looking at now, looking at the Super Bowl. Thing you could have done that was, like, culturally relevant, like they did after 2001, the September 11th attacks. You could have had, if Wyclef Jean was up to it, you could have had a Wyclef Jean-themed halftime show, like, where he did some songs. He's an artist. He has a whole organization dedicated to Haiti. Yele Haiti.
That actually would have been a very cool Super Bowl halftime, in my opinion. It would be like a big Haiti-specific tribute show. And
artists contributing, and yeah.
Because, you know, I think, really, if the music realm wanted to put that show together really quickly, they would have. Because they already, Clooney put together, you know, a telethon in a matter of, well, like, 3 hours.
You know, and he slept half that time.
You know, and We Are the World came together in, like, a week. You know, so I really think if they wanted to, like, say, hey, we're going to do, like, a special, you know, themed Haiti show, they could have. You know, I think they're becoming too careful about, you know, we don't want to get fined again, or we don't want to get, you know, all this flack for, you know, whoever we're getting for the halftime show. Which, one of my coworkers, I'm starting to think this makes a lot of sense, is that, you know, let's partner up CBS with pay-per-view. Let's say halftime now cuts, you now have to move to pay-per-view to watch the actual show.
would never fly.
Because they'll be actually in the stadium still, and you'll still have the crowd there. But then I'm thinking, you know, it makes sense in a way, because, you know, if they don't want that kind of heat or flack, move to somebody else and say, you know, here, you take the heat for whatever this show does. Because I watched that Who show in and out of, like, REM sleep, and...
Funny enough, they did too when they were performing.
Pretty
so.
Much. And the one thing that caught my ear was at the end of their performance, when the crowd was kind of hesitant about applauding, because usually at the end of a halftime show, the crowd will be like all up about it, just like, dude, that was awesome. If you really listen to the crowd at the end of the Who's performance, they're kind of hesitant. They're kind of like, should we clap? Should we stand up? Should we say yeah? I don't know. And that's not really what you want for something you've been building up for weeks. That's not what you want. You do not want the Ashley Simpson effect. You do not want, you know, your performer.
You do not want
your performer to get the end of performance and your crowd be like, hell no. You know, that's not what you want. And that should tell NFL, and if CBS does it again, it should tell them something too. Dude, really, you know, cut this out. Give us something that, like I said, either do a mashup of old school, new school, or just give us something new school. Just try it again. It can't hurt that bad. It really can't.
Yeah. We'll take 2005 and onward. I mean, we'll take, you know, something newer than 69. I mean, you know, it's just funny. It just amazes me how safe they're playing it, and really, like you said, the crowd reaction really fed it all.
Yeah. You know, so, again, if you guys want to disagree with us, which you can, go find Neville's, you know, halftime show, Wake Me Up When It's Over, post. And, you know, let us know what you think, because I've seen some... The conversation on that post has been really good. People have really been saying strongly, you know, don't bash on the Who, or, you know, I kind of agree, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's fine to defend the Who,
but we're not bashing the Who. We're just saying for this younger generation who eventually will become your biggest Super Bowl audience, you need to start thinking about them. You know, and if you want to start bringing them along and making them think every year the Super Bowl is going to be cooler and cooler, don't start making the performances older and older, because you'll start to get this really bad disconnect. So now we shall move on to item 3. Is there an item? Yes, there's an item 3. And
we have 4, yeah.
We have about 6 more hours of show left. And so item 3 is the fact that by the time this podcast comes out, Neville and I will be on our way, or packing, or checking in, or something like that.
Yeah.
On our way to Bellevue, Washington, for the MVP Summit. Now, for those who don't understand, who never listened to the show before, well, welcome. That's number one. But the MVP Summit is a chance for Neville and myself and Travis, who's an MVP, and Graham Ski, who runs anything but iPod, or, you know, all
Jason
of
Jason Dunn, who does Zoom Thoughts, or Patrick Hefter, who does Zoom Tracks, or CS188, who's out in the forums, or Drea, who's on Twitter and Gamer Bistro.
Harvey Shute does Zoonorama.
Harvey Shute does Zoonorama.
We're a breakfast club. So so it's a chance for you to tell us as a community, which is why we brought Julio here, it's a chance for you to tell us as a community what you would like us to tell Zoon. And so, you know, right now we're going to probably let Julio be your voice. So, Julio, as a community member, is there anything you would like Neville and I to say to Zoon?
Yeah,
we got about 8 hours for this, so go for it.
Awesome. Well, people that are probably listening are probably thinking, who voted this guy to be our voice? Yeah, I didn't vote for him. I'm an idiot.
Get your best therapy.
Yes, he can.
Welcome to the Long Island Iced Tea Party.
So probably, I mean, there's a few things, right? Probably the biggest that kind of jumps out is you look at the Zoon HD. Why aren't they opening up an application SDK? Why aren't you letting more developers jump in and basically kind of blow it wide open? You know, you can't help but look at the standard bare, the iPhone, right, / iPod Touch. You look at all the apps they have in their marketplace, and you wonder why, with the awesome hardware and the great services that Zoon HD has behind it, why is Microsoft playing it really safe and really close to the vest and not opening up the application development to a general audience, as opposed to cherry picking the developers and having basically dribs and drabs of content of application content to come out? I mean, that would be one of my biggest questions to ask them.
Right.
I think I could try to answer that. And I remember we did a question post a month back now, asking how do you want apps to come out? And people, more than not, all 13 of you who responded, said that you wanted them to come out when they were ready, as opposed to having like App Tuesday or something like that. And that's a good thing to see. Another thing I also remember seeing is Dave Mac MS, his Twitter name, or Aussie Dave MS, I believe, which is his Zoom tag. Dave McLaughlin, he's a member of the Zoom business unit. He made a post over on Ramsky's website, Anything But iPod, in the forums, where he talked about sort of the tools that they have available to them to make apps for the Zoom HD. And one post he talked about was that what they're doing is they're trying to make a lot of extensions onto XNA to make some of these programs work. So in some instances, a lot of the things that you take for granted, they're still coming up with. My personal belief, and this is what I'm going to guess, I'm just going to throw that out here, is I think they're trying to probably create more first-party apps, you know, like one for Facebook, one for YouTube, or something like that, and then open it up to free development. I guess this is my hope, as opposed to where you have this long-delayed, convoluted, hidden app approval process that you see that mars the Apple App Store for their mobile devices. So as long as you have, you know, like a good first party option first, and then you have the ability to have third party come along after that, hopefully that's something. But then you run into the issue of, well, if Microsoft doesn't think of it first, or the Zune team doesn't think of it first, sort of what happens then with an app that comes out that sort of does something that has not been done before? But from what I remember reading is that they have the tools, they're sort of like trying to build on top of something as opposed to being able to do it and say, here are the tools we use, go forth, be merry, make the world go round in the Zune HD world. And then another post I remember seeing, and this is one from one of the game developers that I follow on Twitter, is he was talking about the need to monetize the app marketplace. And if you look, all the apps right now are free. So sort of if you're an app developer thinking about releasing an app for the marketplace, the question becomes, well, okay, if I release my app, is it going to be ad supported, or is it going, or am I going to be able to set a price that I want to sell it for, and will what I make have more value than those first party ones that are potentially already free if they're coming from Microsoft?
I can see that.
Okay. Here's the couple thoughts on what you said.
Okay.
Kind of based on what you said and what you've read, and this obviously isn't directed at you.
Yeah.
But one, with the application, with XNA, how long has XNA been out? I mean, XNA came out at the end of 2008, right? Or was in beta for a large part of 2008? 2009, right? So the games came out. We had free games for the Zune, for the old Zunes and new Zune. People were able to develop, you know, hobbyist games with XNA. And yet all that time, Microsoft basically didn't do anything with it. You know, if you wanted to install additional apps or games from the XNA, you had to basically be really tech literate to know to, I've got to download the SDK, I got to download the Microsoft, you know, Visual C Sharp tools, and I got to, you know what I mean? So they've had ample time to have these tools out, and they've had it out, and they've basically dropped the ball on XNA. So here we are now in 2010, and they're telling me that, or they're telling us that, well, you know, we want to see if we can monetize, if we can do all these things. Well, you've had all this time. So it's really, you know, Apple, and even with their approval process, which is clearly imperfect, they still got thousands and thousands of apps available and out. And I think Microsoft just needs to come up with a better strategy, a better unified strategy with their apps development. I don't think that the first party is going to cut it for much longer.
That's just my theory. I mean, I could be completely wrong in that. But
I'm not jumping at you.
Ding! Go to neutral corners, please.
Yeah, exactly. we'll hug it out a little bit later, bro.
Okay.
Meet me out back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely at some point, but I also think limited resources comes into the equation too. But again, like you said, they have had the time, and I agree with you on that point, to sort of make things better. And I know at least one MVP will probably say that about Zune Pass going to other countries, but we're not going to name any names. But yeah,
we're done with that.
Why, bringing Zune Pass to the country? You mean nobody else has ever mentioned this before?
I may have heard it once or twice.
Once or twice. It's a really good party here. Some people want to get in.
And that actually, Julio, if I may interject, that's actually the one other big thing that the community is screaming about, is that it's nice that you have the Zune HD and all this stuff, but it's all straight U.S. You know, like even Zune's contests that where they're giving out these like HDs that are like signed by artists and stuff, it's all U.S. And so I'm getting all these people that are, you know, like, I want a Zune HD. I don't want an iPod. I don't want a Santa. I don't want that stuff. I like what Zune HD has to offer, but the problem is it's not available in my area. And it's something I know that Zune knows, but it's one thing I hear at least 10 times a day
from different people, because that's, you know, they like that choice. They like the, you know, to be able to say, you know, if I don't want to go into this box, I like to go into this other box. And so, you know, I hear people on that, and, you know, we've told Zune, hey, you know, your international thing might need to be ramped up a little. And I know they've liked to say, well, we have Zune on Xbox, which is like in a bunch of different countries, but not everybody owns an Xbox or cares to own an Xbox. They want the device. They want that Zune Pass. They want that marketplace. They want that, you know, that stuff available to them no matter where they are. And even individuals who will buy a Zune HD in the U.S. and take it with them somewhere, be it Japan or Europe or, you know, something like that. We're like, I would like to be able to have that content still travel with me, not just get to the U.S. border and say, well, goodbye, we'll see you get back.
You know, we'll see you when you get back. You know, send me a postcard.
Yeah, we'll be here keeping your girlfriend warm. Thanks. You know, it's
me and Betty White. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally hear people on that, because I wouldn't want to take my Zune HD, say, on like a business trip overseas. If I touch down, get out of the plane, you know, go to my hotel, check in, everything's good, take out my Zune, and like, well, all I'm stuck with is the music I brought with me. If it ain't here, I just don't have it. You know, and I understand that, considering, you know, what this real ecosystem can bring.
But I want to hop in for a second there and say that one good thing about the Zune HD is that you can refresh your licenses on the fly. And I'm pretty sure that that's location independent, because your account would be based in the U.S. So I think it's like, the issue is like, if you're like in Japan, you live in Japan, and you have your live account based in Japan, that's where the issue becomes, like making a business trip or something like that. Like for us, moving from the U.S. to Japan, U.S. to Germany or something like that, we'd be fine because our live accounts are in the U.S., but for people who are outside the U.S., like people in the U.K., people in Australia, that's where they'd have the issue of trying to get their Zune Pass to work with them, or trying to have service for their device if they need to send it in, because of the fact that they're in an area that's not currently supported. They'd have no means of having that help unless they have a friend in the U.S. who's willing to do that. And I'm going to put it out there. If any of our listeners want a Zune HD, and they live outside the U.S., send me a message on Twitter, and I'm pretty sure we'll be able to work something out. Or send me a message on Zune, on the Zune social, and I'm pretty sure we'll be able to work something out in terms of shipping, paying for it, and getting it off to you.
Yeah, and Neville will meet you in this dark alley with, like, a long trench coat.
I know.
It's like,
hey, man. We'll work
hey,
it
man.
Out for you.
I got 16 gig right now.
I'm like, you got, like, an underground railroad? Or, you know,
Zune HD. Hey man, check this out. Diamond encrusted 40 gig. Oh.
Yeah, 40 gig Zune, baby. 40 gig and 24, baby. You
uh-oh.
Can't even get these.
Oh, Jack Bauer can even get
what you need.
Oh, gee.
That's a shady deal. Just call. Get me on Twitter.
Give me
my cell phone number, but only after 9.
But to our international, you know, people who love Zune, we understand. We hear you all the time. Don't worry, it's not falling on deaf ears. We understand. Yes, we would love for Zune to go out into the world, literally, and prosper. You know, so we don't know what the official word is about that, whether it's may. What? It can't prosper? What?
I'm just thinking the Zune goes out and spread its seed of musical joy around the world. I'm in the gutter.
This podcast will be broadcast on Showtime. Oh,
jeez. Cinemax After Dark. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
If I can just kind of interject, come along your thoughts.
Sure.
Line of thought there.
Sure.
I'm sorry. You think it's not falling on deaf ears?
Yeah.
But how many years has it been that people have been asking for this? It still hasn't been done. I mean, we know it. We want it. You know, Jason Dunn wants it, I'm sure. He lives in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Right? You know, why hasn't Microsoft done it already? It's not like it's been.
And I will tell you this. And, you know, last year at Summit,
when we're all sitting in this conference room and all these people come in and do these like presentations and talk about what's going on with Zune and what they think the roadmap is, Jason Dunn, God love him, would always, every third question was, that's nice, but what are us Canadians going to get? You know,
you get nothing.
Right, but he always made sure to make that point with everybody. It's like, it's nice that you're telling us all of this stuff, that you want to tell us all of this stuff, but what are us Canadians going to get? What's going to happen when I go back to Canada as your, you know, representative, and what am I going to tell, you know, the people in Canada about what's going on with Zune? If I go back and I'm saying, you know, well, you know, they'll see you again next year, that doesn't look good for him, that doesn't look good for Zune, that doesn't look good for anybody. You know, so he was there last year being like this large voice for Canada, and pretty much, essentially, he was being a large voice for international thinking customers, which is, you know, it's nice that you're saying all of this, but, you know, that's for U.S. people. What about us over here in Japan? What about us over here in, like, Europe? You know, we'd like to have that stuff, too. And so, you know, by him just in that little moment saying, you know, yeah, but what about us Canadians? He was pretty much speaking for everybody. So,
what was their reaction?
That's
the uncomfortable question. Yeah,
that response is under NDA. Yeah.
And we're shutting down the show now. No.
did they just kind of pat him on the head and say, yes, we know. No, we hear you. Next.
But it's the same answer.
Them not doing anything.
It's the same answer I think anybody would give if they brought that up, which is they hear you and they're trying as hard as they can to make it happen. And, you know, yeah, I know. People have heard that for years, and they want to see it happen. And what Zune needs to understand, I hope they understand, is that people are really saying this out of two realms. One is that, you know, I really want that device. But they're saying that for the second realm, which is I would like to see Zune succeed. You know, they want this to be a nice, viable second option to the stuff that Apple puts out, because it's coming from Microsoft. They want Microsoft to be that really nice, viable second competitor to all of this stuff that starts with a little I in the front. They want that. But if it's stifling itself, if it's stopping itself, if it's saying, you know, well, we're trying, you know, a lot of people are just saying, well, let me just go ahead and go with Apple then, because it's here, it's now, it's what I want. You know, and
I wonder if it's a marketing play from, like, the other music corporations to sort of say, yeah, we do have options available in the marketplace, but we'd still rather have one dominant distributor that we deal with and then present the others as side options that we can say that they're available but not really care about. I wonder if that's, like, something that's also out there, too. You know, sort of keep the other people playing along, but not let them get too far into the game, you know what I mean?
Friends close and enemies closer?
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
Just
but
in
they,
terms of saying they don't get kicked out, they don't have any like antitrust violations for making a non-competitive marketplace. Well, and that's the thing. Like they saw when they raised the prices is that they had an issue with a reduced revenue stream. I mean, as the content owners here, you've seen that they've been very adverse to these new streams of revenue sources. I mean, initially they tried to kill the MP3 player when they sued Rio or Diamond right from the get-go. So, and they have sued, and they've been very aggressive preventing MP3 websites like Napster, Kazaa, Shareza, and all the torrent websites too. So it's very possible, I think, again, this is another conspiracy theory off the top of my head, is that you could have some type of way where...
The lone gunman. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's a second gunman on the other side of the wall. Yeah. Yeah, the lone Zune man. But, like, you could say that there's something like that, where they just want to see an oligopolistic market, where you just have, like, one big competitor with a lot of little competitors, as opposed to having full-out competition trying to drive the price of music down or something like that.
What kind of market? I think
the black market.
No, instead of a monopoly, an oligopoly, we have, like, instead of, like, one player, like, multiple, like, one or two or three major players.
Easy with the big words here. Talking to Marcus and myself here. Oh.
Sunny day.
sweeping the clouds away. All right, so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry about that. This is what I
deal with every week.
He's sitting there talking. I'm like, did he just say what I think he said? I think it's great.
Baby, get my dictionary. I'm talking to Neville.
Yeah. Get Google with my... Google with my
so
friend.
Well.
All right, so if I may...
Talk to Dennis Miller over here.
That's my job. So if I may interject, Julio, for you, for the voice of the community, because there's another thing that they bring up, which I totally agree with, and that is this thing of, you know, and you'll know where I'm going. I bought a DVD. It comes with a digital copy. Which, okay, you know, if you want me to get it from Marketplace, okay. But if I have this digital copy, this pristine, crisp, clear, ready-to-use digital copy, what's really stopping you from saying, okay, you bought, you know, Toy Story. You have this digital copy. It's in your collection. We sell Toy Story, but we're going to map the fact that you have Toy Story already. So when you look for Toy Story in the marketplace, it'll say it's in your collection already. Because it can already do that with music. Well, you went out to Amazon, you bought this album, so we're going to map the album to the marketplace. Why now must my software say, no? You know, why must it be a movie Nazi? What's up with that?
Why, because those guys don't buy Toy Story?
Something like that, yes.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Neville, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's marketing. Not marketing, like licensing.
Neville's got nothing.
Yeah.
What kind of MVP are you?
No, you make a good point. I mean, I'll be out in a store, and I'll see the DVD. I'll pick it up. It's a digital copy, and I get excited for one brief second. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to zoom. It doesn't work. I'll put it back. You know, you kind of slump your shoulder.
A little part of you dies on the inside.
Digital copy done for me because I'm a Zune owner.
One tenth of Julio has been left on aisle 10.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But you know, I agree. Why isn't that the case? Why is it Microsoft pushing for that? Why aren't they working with the content distributors to add a Zune option then? Or to enable, like what you were saying, map it to the marketplace?
Yeah, and it's one of the things I agree with because, you know, like if people have a legitimate copy of the DVD, for example, and they use Handbrake or whatever those like DVD ripping software is to, you know, rip their legitimate copy to their software because they would like to just take it on their Zune on a trip, what stops the marketplace from saying, okay, you already own this copy of Fight Club. We're about to release Fight Club. Oh, well, you already have it. So let's just say it's already in your collection. Why does the marketplace still have to say, well, if you really want this like nice pristine version, you have to pay 1,600 points for, you know, the high def version? You know, if there's already this nice thing with music where I can go out to a record store even, buy a CD, bring it home, insert it into computer, marketplace says, oh, you bought this CD. These are all the tracks. You ready to rip it? Rip it. And it says, okay, this is how it would have been in the marketplace if you went looking for it. You go to the marketplace, it says in collection. What's really stopping it from doing at least that part of it with a movie that I buy from somewhere?
I was just going to say, I think part of it is, the ripping part is copyright protection. Technically, the way the law is written right now, it's stupid for any private owner of the content to not be able to make a digital copy without being forced to break the law. That's something that needs to change. And I don't understand how content owners can allow this to keep going on. If they're fearful of piracy, they actually invite piracy by the fact that they don't let people transfer what they purchase between the devices that they purchase without breaking the law.
Uh-oh.
That doesn't make sense.
You're starting a digital copy tea party. Stop it.
I know, yeah.
Uh-oh. Careful.
But the thing that you see with CDs, though, and a lot of people got mad when Sony had a rootkit on a few of their CDs back in 2000.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, that was tragic.
Well, it's a other DRM
attack. I still haven't forgiven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tragic.
It's things like that. Like, people don't like the restrictions, one, on the CDs having the copy protection, but also on the DVDs. Like, CDs aren't copy protected, so that's why you're able to rip the music to your collection. DVDs and Blu-rays should be the same thing, and I'm pretty sure it would probably prevent a lot of the piracy that you see, because the fact that people are able to move from one device to the other without having to go through these illegal means.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
I agree with that too. I'm sure Microsoft gets a, these movie companies have a hand in it and kind of influencing Microsoft to not include, and probably the same with iTunes, not including any kind of movie ripping functionality.
Is there anything else with the, as I really like saying it like this, but the non-MVP community member that you would like me and Neville to tell Zune when we see them?
Just call me the pariah and be done with it.
Sure.
Let me see here. I actually had a little bit of a list here. But I think we've kind of, I mean, the applications, the missing music, right? I mean, that's got to be addressed. The lack of international marketplace. Probably the other thing is, probably with the rumors, which are probably going to be kind of come to fruition, is Zune services being integrated with Windows Mobile 7. And probably what I'm very curious about is kind of a twofold. It's something we talked about in a Zune Spring, and when I was on the Zune Spring podcast a little while ago, is does Zune services being integrated with Windows Mobile potentially spell sort of like, is it sort of the writing on the wall for the Zune hardware down the road? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
How's the long term, what's going to be the effect of that Windows Mobile integration, integrating Zune, I should say, as its media player, as its, you know, as its back end for music and video? How's that going to affect Zune hardware down the road? I mean, will Microsoft get to the point where they're just going to find it more cost effective to just stop playing, stop making Zune HDs, and just say, well, you know what, it's in all our Windows Mobile 7 players, devices, just, that's how you'll have the Zune. That's what I'm curious about.
What's interesting about that, that you bring it up, is that I recently went to Microsoft's site, which is, and I'll make sure that people know about this site if they don't know about it already. It's their site called Software Plus Services, The Greater Sum. What they do on that site is they talk about how through software that they can really bring out the best in the devices that they have. Like, they've already updated it since last time I saw it to include things like Zune HD, to include things like, you know, Xbox 360 updating with, like, Twitter and Facebook and all of that stuff, to say that we can really extend life of devices through, you know, the software and the firmware and the updates that we can bring to them. So I think with Zune specifically, it was nice that they were doing like this hardware experiment, which looks to me like it's being a hardware experiment. And they're ultimately trying to really see, well, how much of it can it be a software and service to other devices like Xbox, what they do with the video marketplace, or maybe Windows Mobile with like music and video and that. Because I do agree with one thing, that cell phones are really becoming a lot smarter, a lot faster, a lot, you know, bigger processing power. They're just, you know, really becoming like little mini computers that just happen to like dial your, you know, friend to say, I'm going to be late another 15 minutes. Can you, you know, hold the table, you know? And so I do believe that ultimately Zune is just going to become this, you know, this software-based thing for everything else that Microsoft is doing in its corporation.
So you kind of think that, well, long-term, the hardware is going to go away? Or that's a theory, you mean?
Ultimately, I do see the hardware as Zune producing it going away. I would think, though, that if other people who looked at this hardware, like Zune HD, for example, and says, well, you know, if I can make something like that, you know, if I can do all this kind of stuff with it, they would start making more devices like that. And I think then you can, when you include Zune, it'll become like this great thing, because people do, like I said, like choice, which is why international people want to see Zune out of the U.S. And so if they have different devices they can get that still have the same kind of processing power and still can run the Zune stuff, I think it would be good ultimately for everybody. But that's just me. I don't know. I'm crazy.
No, not you, Mark.
I'm totally nuts.
I was just gonna say, I just hope that Zune devices actually don't go away, because I would hate to be tied to my phone company to be dependent on the goodness that is Zune.
Do you have AT&T?
I have Verizon.
See, then you don't have no reason to say that. I have AT&T, okay? You know, if AT&T, if you're listening, just come to my house. I like to kick you down my steps. That's all.
See, now, that's simple. Understand. What's all the AT&T hate? Because I have AT&T, and I actually like them.
Okay.
I've had them for a few years.
Small quick story. I went to PAX last year. Everybody decided to show up with an AT&T phone, be it like a Windows Mobile or an iPhone or something. When they all
just an iPhone. Just an iPhone. Come on, it's PAX.
Yeah, I was the mofo with the Windows Mobile phone. But when they're all in the convention center at the same time, trying to Twitter to their friends, "Hey, I'm in the convention center." The whole building shuts down because apparently the whole building runs on like AT&T and things will start to slow down real quick. You know, and it happens with big conventions like that. But I will say this though, it's better than Sprint.
Yeah,
if that,
I haven't had Sprint in 7 years.
If that means anything.
My friend was roaming in his own apartment in Sprint, using Sprint. He would step outside, or you know, 10 feet away, he'd be on the network. When he sat in his own place, he'd be roaming.
Yeah. So. See, how sad is that? How sad is that? You walk through your front door. Oh, gotta go. You know.
Yeah.
I'm paying roaming charges in my living room.
Why is it expensive to be in the bathroom? Oh God. You know, so
well, maybe the bathroom's the only place you can get coverage.
I'm not about to go there. All right, so
hey, honey, why is it every time we talk you're in the bathroom? Don't worry about it, Jared.
Is there one other issue that you've seen, Julio, that you'd like for Neville and I to bring up to the Zune team, even one personally that you just have? They're just kind of like, why?
Oh, what the personal one that.
This is going to be big.
This is going to be one. No, you know what it is? I have a Zune 120, right? I get it. You know, they're not going to be updating the firmware, and that's fine. But
okay,
what drives me nuts
is
the bug where you have two seats, like a multiple CD set, and let's say you have CD1, track 1, CD1, track 2, blah, 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 and then CD2, track 1, right? Like okay, the wall. Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Right.
For example.
Right.
But when you look at it on the Zune device, you've got tracks 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3. Like it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Now this is fixed in the Zune HD firmware.
It is.
They can't. That's what I had heard. But that's.
Well, let me put it this way. Like I remember. Yeah, I remember seeing that, and I haven't even tried it because of the fact that it's gone on for so long, it becomes part of your mind that that's the way it is.
Yeah. And it's an annoying bug that's been there since 2X and 3X.
Yep.
And, you know, all of
that. And what's funny is about that.
Port that fixed.
And what's funny about that is that if you find a multiple CD, like compilation or whatever, in like the marketplace, it's listed like, say, tracks 1 through 30, where the first 1 through 20 is the first CD, straight in order. 21 to 36 is the second CD, straight in order. And so why can't it take that type of listing or that kind of style and just kind of put that to the device, for example, or however you have your collection set up, where if anything, just kind of say, not even say disc 1, track 1, disc 1, track 2, just say 1 through 36, you know, that kind
of
thing.
Just, I mean, it sounds like it's a sorting issue. Instead of just sort by track number, sort by CD number and then track number. It's like, come on, dude, 3 lines of code. I will pay you money to fix it. You know what I mean?
Well, at the end of the show, I'll give you the address. I'll give you Matt Akers' email. You could just say, hey, dude, here's the virtual check. Fix
it.
You know?
I will pay him through PayPal. I mean,
yeah.
We could probably get a
PayPal fund for Zune bugs. Yeah.
Right.
But you know what I mean? I mean, it's like one of the most annoying bugs that's still in, you know, and then they give you false hope. We're going to come up with an update for the Zune 1, 30s, 80s, 120s, and all that. just to work the new software. So you go from 3.2 to 3.3, or, you know, 3.25 or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's nothing new. It's just, oh, I get to work with the new software. Great. Laugh at me, why don't you, Microsoft? You know, I just want that CD thing fixed. It keeps me up at night. My marriage is falling apart because of it. I mean, I need them to fix it.
See, Julio, you don't know. When you originally started this by saying, God, who let Julio be our voice? I'm sure people are now going, wow, preach it. Yeah.
Julio. Julio.
Yeah. Let's turn to the Book of Fail, chapter 1.
Yeah,
it's right up there, bro. You know.
So now that we're in hour 4, you know, let's go to item 4, which is our marketplace choices. So, Neville, you can go ahead and start if you want.
I'm going to go off with something new this week. I've been on a few Smart DJ playlists, and one of them I seeded, which was the starting track, with Owl City. Going further down the list, I got to the Cyanide Valentine, and the album name is Let It Rot, and the track that I actually like off of it is Let It Rot. So it's Let It Rot by the Cyanide Valentine, and I'm going to go with my second pick this week. I was bouncing around a bit, but I think I'm going to go with Lithium by Nirvana.
Ooh, nice.
And
ooh,
yeah. And if you take a look at my Zune status for the week so far, past couple days, I just discovered this band called Nirvana. Ever heard of them? And the reason I say that is because I literally just got into the group. And I actually have to thank Julio for this because of the fact that when he started up his 120 Revolutions, that's what it's called, you talked about how you would sit in front of the radio listening with a mixtape trying to catch new tracks. And you talked about how you had Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit, and you really liked that, and you said when you first played that track, it really got you hooked to the whole album. So I said, all right, let me take a recommendation from a fellow circler, and let me go with this album. And I've done this once before when you talked about some of the indie rock back in the day. I liked those Disco Days and Kerry Rodriguez. I came to like those artists as well. So I said, this guy so far is really good in his musical selection. Let me check out this band called Nirvana. I've probably seen the album cover, The Baby in the Water, like swimming with the money, so many times. I've heard like the beginning riff of Smells Like Teen Spirit because I remember all the kids in my class in about fourth or fifth grade would try to play it on their guitars. And they thought they were the coolest things in the world for being able to play it on their guitars. But now that I actually listen to the music, I'm like, oh, yeah, so that's where that song comes from, that type of feeling. So it's actually a really good feeling to be able to have that. And I'm also feeling good like I did when I played the Smashing Pumpkins song last weekend, and everyone really liked my selection of Seven Shades of Black. I'm starting to build my collection, and this is a great cornerstone to keep on going with. So Lithium by Nirvana, if you guys have heard of it, I'm pretty sure everyone else has, but thanks once again, Julio, for some great musical recommendations. And everyone should definitely check out his post on Inside the Circle, 120 Revolutions, as he keeps on recommending new artists to dig.
That's awesome. Thanks, man. Wow, I don't know what to say. I'm like,
so Julio, after you stop blushing, you can go ahead with your marketplace picks.
Wow, that's awesome. So the two that I picked, kind of like really kind of indie on the indie side. One of them was a band by a band called Black Moth Super Rainbow, which is I heard about them. I saw their name and I'm like, I gotta listen to these guys.
Yeah, I would too.
And they're sort of like a strange, like I guess like a strange pop kind of. It's hard to really describe their sound, but Zodiac Girls is the track that off their Drippers album. That is actually the song that got me into the band, and it's kind of a nice bit of like electronica and strange pop mixed together with like, you know, computerized vocals. It's very interestingly done. It gives a good feel for what the rest of their stuff is.
Hmm.
So yeah, Zodiac Girls by Black Moth Super Rainbow, and my second pick is Sci-Fi Lullaby by a band called Silver Sun Pickups.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Are you familiar? You heard of them?
I listened to it a little bit, so I know which one you're talking about. No, that's a cool choice.
Yeah, it's it was their album, off the album Pikul, P-I-K-U-L. It's it's on the Zoom Marketplace. I double check. It's on the Zoom Marketplace.
It might not be here tomorrow, so.
No guarantees. We'll get it quick.
Get it now.
But it you know, it's funny. It was a band that was actually recommended to me from my boss, and she's like, he said, I think you'd like this band, and I checked them out. Obviously, I grabbed all their stuff from Zoom Marketplace, and I loved a bunch of the tracks, but this is one of the ones that stuck out to me, and it's definitely one of the ones I think people should check out. It's a great band. Definitely check them out.
Oh, very cool. My two choices are, I call it the Discover and Rediscover choices, because it's a song I've discovered just like in the past week, and it's a song that I really enjoyed a long time ago, and I just rediscovered it in the past week. The song I discovered this week that, you know, I even suggested to Zune for their R&B Zune Tune playlist that they are collecting songs for is a song by Toshi Kubota, Kubota, for spelling that for the market. It's called Nothing But Your Love. And the reason I like it is because the guy is basically a Japanese singer who really enjoyed the old style R&B. And so this entire album is just basically his, you know, dedication, showing his appreciation, showing his love for that, you know, old school R&B sound. And Nothing But Your Love is the first song off that album. And it's one of those songs that you can, like, really just, like, groove to. You know, you can kind of have your, like, strobe light going. You can just kind of, like, you know, have that, you know, mood music. So I recommend that one. The second one is a rediscover of a song I enjoyed when I was in college. It's a song called We Have Explosive by The Future Sound of London.
Ooh.
And the reason I like that song is because it was actually on the soundtrack for a game called Wipeout, which was on the original PlayStation. It was on that soundtrack. And so, you know, when you're playing the game, you're hearing this, like, really hard driving song. You're like, wow, this is pretty, you know, kick butt. Hey! And so I refound the group in the last week, and I refound that song, and I was like, oh, wow, I have to, you know, have this song in my collection because I really dug it then, and I really dug it now. So, you know, the two songs, Nothing But Your Love and We Have Explosive, are my recommendations. And if you have a dirty mind like mine, they both fit very well for Valentine's Day. I'll leave it at that. So, you know, but, you know, those are my choices. And with all of that, I want to thank you again, Julio, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. One of the ultimate goals of this podcast is we have all four writers at the same time on the show. And
yeah, we got to get Alpha on here, man. That
yeah.
Would be awesome.
And, you know, there would need to be a, what, 15-second delay, I would think?
At least.
But I think that would be entertaining to no end. That show alone would have, like, two episodes worth of cutting room floor material just by itself. Neville, I will see you at Summit.
Oh my goodness, that's gonna be awesome!
Oh, if you walk up to me like that, I
you gotta run up to him and give him a big bear hug, man.
Oh,
just like that.
I just had this visual of Neville just walking up, just
what's up?
Hey.
We're going to stamp lamps on the middle of the stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh, jeez. And with all of that, you know, I'd like to thank you guys for joining us. We know this has been a long show, but hopefully it's been an entertaining show. Believe me, it's been entertaining for me. You know, thank you from the three of us. You know, stay safe, stay strong, keep the beat, and we will see you again next time.